And we're holding on Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the second line. Mishnah told us that we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Broika and the Chachamim, and the Gemara discussed whether the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is in fact that other opinion against Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Broika. In the end, we said that apparently not. The Tanakhama and the previous Mishnah, that our Mishnah that we're in now, which was on Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, is actually the whole thing, as according to Rabbi Yochanan and Broika, the opposing opinion is in the previous Mishnah. In any case, previously we had said that a father does not have the ability to give the Yerusha to one son over another, and certainly not to take away the Chelek B'chorah from the B'chor. Rabbi Yochanan and Broika had held the Chelek B'chorah, fine, is untouchable, but because the pasuk says so, but he learns that a father is able to say, even as a matter of Yerusha, even as a lashon of Yerusha, that I want only one son among my other sons to get the Yerusha, or if it's only daughters, and the daughters are the ones who are yarshining, only one daughter among the daughters. And we had said that halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, and that we're going to learn later on in the perek, the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara are going to say it's a wrong thing to do, and the Chachamim are not very pleased with somebody who does that, but nevertheless the din is that he could do that. So now, Bori Rava. So Rava has the question: the Bori Heyach. What about would this kind of din apply to a healthy person? So till now we've been talking about a Shchivmerah. So he's on his deathbed. He knows he hasn't got long to live, and in general, he has greater powers as far as what he's saying, and that what he's saying is more definitive, and so forth, as we're going to learn in the continuation of our perek. But And besides which, anyway, the posuk that Rabbi Yochanan Broika had learned his concept from, that a person is able to disinherit some children in favor of others, is based, the posuk is talking about at the time when the Yerusha is going to be given, which is when the guy dies, or shortly before that. So the question is, the Bori Heyach. So what would be the din as far as a Bori, a healthy person who says this kind of thing? I want plenty to Yarush in this field. Would Rabbi Yochanan Broika also say that the same rule applies? Would we say Kika Omer Rabbi Yochanan Broika b'shchivmera debar arusihu? You would say maybe it applies, maybe his concept applies only to a shchivmera, where it's the time when Yerusha is taking place. Now he had learned from the pasuk b'yom hanchilo yasbonav, on the day that he bequeaths his inheritance to his children, from which we learn, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan Broika says that he has fairly broad powers as far as deciding the disposition of his estate. Now, obviously, the pasuk doesn't need to tell us. If he said Mishum Matana, there would be no chiddush in that. So we mean, even when he says Mishum Yerusha, even when he's saying purely a loshon of Yerusha, then Rabbi Yochanan Broika is saying that he has that right. But that would be talking about when the bequeathing is being done, which is at the time of which is a time shortly before he passes away as a shchivmera. Avol the body loy, maybe when it comes to a body, when to a regular healthy person, it wouldn't apply. Or yom after the body nami, or maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika's concept applies even to a body. So the Gemara says, Omelet of Meshaushi of the Rava Toshma. So the Meshaushi says to Rava, here, I'll bring you a proof from a Vraisa. From once we go through, now the Braisa is going to be a bit long, but it's not so long, I guess, but whatever, it takes up a good few lines. Not all of it is exactly relevant to this, but the point is we are going to go, once we go through the Braisa, then when we analyze it, then we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika's concept seemingly applies to a body as well. Namely, the Omelet of Nosson the Rebbe. Rav Nosson says to Rebbe, now we know that the Rebbe was the one who compiled the Mishnah as we have it. The Gemara actually tells us in Bava Metzia that Rebbe and Rav Nosson are the end of the Mishnah. So Rav Nosson had a hand in arranging the Mishnayos as we have them as well. We also know he was the Av Beis Din in the generation before Rebbe. And the Rebbe's father was Rav Shimon Gamliel, was the Nossi. Rav Nosson was his Av Beis Din. Rav Nosson in particular had come from Bavel. So now he's in Eretz Yisrael and learning with the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. So he says to Rebbe, who was a native of Eretz Yisrael, "Shanisa mishnaschem k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. You and your mishnayos in Eretz Yisrael have composed the lashon of your Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika." And the question on that is, either because he says maybe the halacha should not be like Rabbi Yochanan Baruch, before we learned that Rebbe says it is, but fine, Rabbi Nosson, a Tana, is of course entitled to disagree, or he might be saying, fine, I agree the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Baruch, but still you shouldn't be formulating the wording of the Mishnah in such a way that it's only according to his opinion. At least you should try to formulate it in a way that will fit according to all opinions. So he's telling him that you and Eretz Yisrael are learning your Mishnah, like have compiled your Mishnah, and you're making the wording of it like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Namely, we learned a Mishnah in Ksubas. Now back in Ksubas, we learned about the concept of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, which is, it was a takana of the Chachamim that one of the Tnoi Ksuba is that if the wife dies before her husband, her children from that husband will yarshin an amount, will have an amount of the Yerusha earmarked for an amount equivalent to their mother's Ksuba. The idea is, the Gemara explains over there, because the Ksuba, part of the Ksuba is based on what the Kala's father says, that what assets he's going to give her to bring into the marriage. Now, he may think to himself, why should I give very much assets for that kind of thing? What's going to happen if my daughter ends up dying before her husband, and if her husband yarshins her, as we learned earlier in the parak, and then he remarries, then all of that estate is going to end up going to children that aren't even descended from me. So why should I bother in the first place? So therefore, to give him an incentive, to give the father of the kala an incentive, to give a nice size nadin, the Chachamim came up with this concept of ksubas bnin dichrin. Benin Dichrin means male sons, and the takana is basically that we say, let's say, for example, Huxuba is, so let's say Huxuba is 400 zuz, the basic 200 for a basula, plus, let's say, another 200 of Nadin. So then we say that out of the Yerusha, 400 are earmarked to go to her children from him. So meaning, in other words, when it comes to, even let's say, so she died, and her husband yarshined her, and then he remarries and has more children. When it comes to divide up the Yerusha, we're not going to say that everybody's going to get an equal amount. We're going to say the children from that wife who had the 400 ksuba are going to have 400 earmarked for them. That's to pay off their mother's ksuba. And then after that, they go and split up all the estate between them evenly, and the bechor gets a double portion as usual. So the Mishnah says over there, loy kosavla, if the husband did not write in the ksuba for the wife, benin dichrin diyehevin lochminai, the male children, the sons whom you have for me, inun yusun kesef ksubosich, they will inherit the money of your ksuba, yosra cholakoin diimachohin, beyond their regular portion with their brothers. So again, in other words, we're going to have in our scenario 400 earmarked for them, and then the rest of the Yerusha is going to be split evenly between them. So the Mishnah says chayev, he's still chayev to make that happen. Tnai beistin hu, because it's a tnai beistin, that this is how it should be done. And again, the reason is that this way the father of the woman will have an incentive to give a nice size dowry for his daughter. Anyway, the point is, Reb Nosson says to Rebbe, when you have in the word yusun in there, yusun is the Aramaic equivalent of yushu in Hebrew. So that means you're using a lashon of Yerusha. And you're saying that in that case, because of this tnai, the children from that marriage get more of the estate than the other ones would. Well, that's classic Reb Yochanan ben Baruch, who says that it's possible to do that, to increase one's son's in one son's inheritance at the expense of a different one. So why are you using that lashon? V'omalei Rebbe Yisbun Tnan, and Rebbe tells him, no, in fact, the Mishnah doesn't say Yisbun, they should inherit. It uses the word Yisbun, which means they will take. Well, then it doesn't use a lashon of Yerusha, it uses a lashon of Matana. So therefore, it's according to everybody. It's not just according to Rebbe Yochanan ben Baruch. But that wasn't the end of it. Because of Omer Rebbe, later on, Rebbe says, rethinking what he said, he says, Yaldus Hoisabi, I acted in a childish way, they asti ponid the Nosin Ababli, and I acted in a chutzpahdik way towards Nosin Ababli, that I gave him an answer which is incorrect. I told him that the Mishnah in fact says Yisbun, when in fact it does say Yisun, as the Gemara is going to go on to show how Rebbe himself understands that the correct wording is Yusun. So why did I tell Nosin Ababli Yisbun? The Rashbam mentions, by the way, that just, the Gemara didn't have to bring this whole back and forth. It could have just said, it could have just told us very simply that we see when Rav Nosson says Shnissim, where you learned your Mishnah like Rav Yechon ben Broka, then obviously that case is talking about a bori, because when the guy is getting married and writing out the ksuba, he's perfectly healthy. So it would have been quite enough to just mention that point. It didn't have to go through the whole back and forth, but the Gemara wanted to bring in the whole discussion, so we see more clearly what was going on over there between Rebbe and Rav Nosson. The Ritva also points out that given that Rebbe himself is going to point out that there's a flaw in his argument, and it really does say Yusun, then which then brings back Rav Nosson's question, so why didn't Rav Nosson answer back to him? And the Ritva gives a few possibilities. Maybe, in fact, so let's learn Rebbe's proof that actually it does say Yusun, and then we can talk about that. So Rebbe says, so it was wrong of me to say to fob off Rav Nosson and Babli with an answer that Yisbun Tnan, when in fact it is true that it does say Yisbun Tnan, and then it's true, his question is back. So why is the Mishnah formulated to be only according to Rav Yechon ben Breita? Because Rebbe thinks to himself, El of the Kaimalon, because we know for a fact, Bnin Dichrin Le Tarfam Mishabdi. Now, this is actually a subject of discussion in Masechta Ksuvos, but the halacha is that the Ksuvos Benin Dichrin, the extra amount that is supposed to be earmarked for the sons, cannot be collected from Meshubadim. Normally, of course, the Ksuva itself is subject to be collecting from the Chosim Meshubadim. And if the wife herself is alive and collecting the ksuba, then she can do that. But now, when we're talking about ksubas benin dichrin, then we don't. Now, isak dadach yisbun tnan. Now, if in fact the Mishnah had said yisbun, then it would mean, in other words, that it took effect as of me'achshav, as of when he wrote the ksuba. And so why not? Amayla tar from the Meshabdi. Why indeed wouldn't it be collected from Meshabadim? Ela shmamina yusun tnan. Therefore, that shows that the correct word is yusun, and therefore, so it only takes effect. The ksubas minin dichrin takes effect only when the father dies, and at that point, the property's already been sold, and therefore, there's no shibud on it. So therefore, necessarily, it must say yusun, and yeah, in that case, Rav Nosson has a good point. Why, in that case, why did we understand it that way, and write and compose a Mishnah that's only according to Rav Yechon ben Breita? When he says, by the way, when Rav Nosson says Shenisim Mishnaskem, it can mean, again, the final formulation of the Mishnah as Rebbe is doing it, because, as again, that goes with Rebbe Rav Nosson's Seif Mishnah. It can also mean, Bechlal, there's a considerable amount of evidence that the Mishnah, that much of the Mishnayas as we have them, existed in their current form long before Rebbe. There's various proofs from that from all over Shas. There's different opinions how far back the core of the Mishnah goes. Some say it goes all the way back to Amshe Knesset HaGdola, and then it was just added to and then transformed over the hundreds of years. But whatever, the point is, it's clear that in the generations before Rebbe, there were at least some of the Mishnayos in the form that we have them now. So therefore, Rav Nosson could be saying to Rebbe, look, we in Bavel and you in Eretz Yisrael are both learning the same core of Mishnayos, but why does your version in Eretz Yisrael seem to reflect only the opinion of Rav Yechon ben Breita? Anyway, so the Ritva brings up then, so why didn't Rav Nosson realize this point, and why didn't he, as soon as Rebbe tells him Yisbun Tnan, why didn't Rav Nosson immediately challenge him? What do you mean Yisbun Tnan? Then why aren't they collecting from Meshubadim? So the Ritva gives a few possibilities. Rav Nosson may hold that in fact you could collect from Meshubadim, so in that case, yeah, it could very well say Yisbun. Or he wants to give Rebbe a chance. Rebbe having said to him, and Rebbe is from the next generation of him, because again, he was the Av Beis Din for Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father. So Rav Nosson may have thought to himself, you know what, this young Talmid Chacham is telling me Yisbun Tnan. You know what, I'm not going to answer him. Let him think it over himself and he'll realize that it can't be so. Or the third possibility is he says that maybe Rebbe didn't even mean it would be Yisbun completely, but rather it's almost like a compromise between Yisbun and Yusun. There would be a certain aspect in which you can say Yisbun, that they take it, but not completely, as the Gemara in fact is going to go on to say, as far as what Abaya is saying, and therefore he didn't think that he could just say that. When Rebbe says Yisbun, doesn't mean entirely that there's a certain aspect of Yusun in it, and therefore, And therefore, so yeah, you could say it's on the one hand, you don't collect from Mishra Bavdin, but on the other hand, it can, in a certain way, be considered like a Yerusha. Anyway, the Gemara says, Man Shamat Leidi Islei Hai Svara. So, which Tana do we find that has that Svara? Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka. Which the Rashbam points out, the Gemara didn't really need to say that. Obviously, the whole point is Reb Nosson is saying that that mission in Ksubas goes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka. Anyway, the point is that so we see that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka, and there we're talking about a bori because there we're talking about it takes place when if we say yisbun, then it means it takes place when the father is still alive. But on the other hand, Rebbe is saying to himself that the fact is it doesn't say yisbun, it says yusun, and yet we're saying we can collect from the Shabbatim and to say yusun would be only according to Rebbe Yochanan ben Brekka or shmamin after the babari. So therefore, that shows that even if the thing was done, even if the thing was executed when he was a bari, and really even if we do have the word yisbun in that Mishnah, the very fact that Rav Nosson says you're learning your Mishnah like Rebbe Yochanan ben Brekka means that Rav Nosson understands and Rebbe implicitly agrees that Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka is in fact talking about a bori as well. So fine, we brought the whole thing just in order to explain the various opinions of Rav Nosson and Rebbe, but nevertheless, we do see from that, says Rav Mashavshia, that evidently Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka holds his opinion even by a bori. So the Gemara continues. So Shmami Nakhil of a bori. Now the Gemara continues. Omale Rav Papa LaAbaye. Now, so Rav Papa asks Abaye as follows. Now, according to the Rashbam and several other Rishonim, this next piece over here is not going to be a question on the answer that we just gave to answer Rava. Yeah, that's been answered. We have now a solid proof from that story of Rav Nosson and Rebbe. We have according to the Rashbam and several other Rishonim, we now have a solid proof that in fact Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka's din applies even when the guy is a bari, because we see that from this case of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, which that Ksuba is executed when he's a bari. So according to the Rashbam, now when the Gemara is going to continue with Rav Papa and Abaya, it's going to be just to analyze this discussion between Rebbe and Rav Nosson, the question is going to be why does Rebbe have to tell Rav Nosson that in order to make it work according to everybody, the only way would be if it says Yisbun. Why couldn't we say even if it says Yusun, it could work even according to the Chachamim? So in other words, the question would not be on the conclusion that we answered Rav's question, but rather it would be as kind of a side issue. Why was Rebbe forced to resort to that answer, which he himself later on admits is a weak answer, to say that's Yisbun? Why couldn't he have answered it does say Yusun, but nevertheless? But nevertheless, it could still go according to the Chachamim, as your Papa is going to go on to explain. On the other hand, Tosfos and the Rif and a bunch of other Rishonim learn that your Papa's question is in fact going to be to slog up Rav Masharshia's proof for Rava. And that the flow of the Gemara is going to be that in the end we can't really prove one way or the other what Rav Yochanan ben Brekka holds. Maybe it's only a special thing in the case of Ksubas Benin Dichrin that you have this rule. Maybe it doesn't apply more generally when a bori would say this kind of thing. And in fact, in the end, the Rif and a bunch of other Rishonim learn that way. The Rambam, in fact, passed that way as well. So you have by the word Avol Bori Loi near the top of the Amud, when you have that it says that maybe by a bori he can't do this kind of thing, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekka, to disinherit or partly disinherit one son in favor of the other. So it wouldn't apply to a bori. The Rambam mentions that in both places and says that, yeah, bori can't do it. And in both places, Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah refers to the Rambam and says, V'ayin B'magen Mishnah, in each case, take a look at the Magen Mishnah, where he explains that the Rambam follows those shittis, the Rif and the others. In general, most of the Pesachim of the Rambam follow those of the Rif, who was the Rebbe of his Rebbe. Anyway, actually, to be exact, three generations back, the Rif taught the Rimigash, who in turn taught Rav Maimon, who was the Rambam's father. Anyway, so most of the time, the Rambam's Pesachim usually follow the Rif, And sure enough, the Rif says over here that the halacha would be that that it would not be that a bari could do this, because he understands that Rapapa, what Rapapa is going to ask now in the discussion between him and Abaya, is going to end up schlogging up, or at least possibly schlogging up, Rav Masharshia's proof. And therefore, the halacha would wind up being that by a bari, you don't have a proof that he could do that, and therefore we would say he can't do it, because basically, I'm motzi mechaver levaraya. So, but again, according to the Rashbam, it's not according to the Rashbam and a couple of other Rishonim, the Baal Amor is another one, etc., says that no, it has nothing to do. We have said that we have given an answer, and that's that. And now, Rav Papa is going to take up a side point. Anyway, so Amalei Rav Papa Labai. Bein lamando Amar Yispun, bein lamando Amar Yirtun. We have to ask whether you say that the wording is Yispun, that they will take, which implies something that they will take the part that's earmarked because of their mother's ksuba, which implies, therefore, that has nothing to do with Yerusha. It's a matter of matana, and everybody agrees you can override the dinim, the regular dinim of inheritance with a matana. Bein the manda om a yutun, or whether you say that the loshan is yusun, that they will inherit, which implies something that takes place when the father dies, either way, the question is, a person cannot be makna something that doesn't exist yet. Now, at the time of the marriage, the children don't exist yet to be able to say that I'm makna them to ksuba. They're the ksuba. Even according to the mayor who says that a person could be makna something that doesn't exist yet, but that would apply when you're being makna to something that already exists in the world. So you're being makna somebody who already exists now. You're telling him, I'm going to be makna you now, something that's going to happen in the future. So the mayor would hold that would work. But even Rav Meir wouldn't hold it would apply to something that doesn't give it to somebody who doesn't exist yet. The children don't exist at the time of at the time the ksuba is written. So why do we need to say? So whether we say yisbun or whether we say yusun, either way, the question is, how does it even work at all? Evidently, it must be a special elatnai based in shiny. Obviously, the answer is that a tnai based in is a special case, and therefore the chachamim have the ability to override such things. After all, hefker based in hefker. So yes, normally, in other words, Rav Papa is saying, if it was just a matter of a regular kinyan, there was no way it would work in the first place. Evidently, the only way to make it work is with a tnai based in. Well, once we're doing that, then why does Rebbe need to resort to the Lashon Yisbun in order to explain to Rav Nosson Abavli why the Mishnah goes according to everybody, even if it said Yisbun? It's still, you could say that it's a special Tachanas Chachamim that allows us to override the dinim of Yerusha, and therefore that would work even according to the Chachamim. So Omalei, so Abaya answers him, Mishum de Kamapik lo b'loshen Yusun. Fine, but the reason is because he's using a loshen of Yusun. The reason is, in other words, Rav Nosson would tell them, fine, I can accept that it's a special Tanai based in. Nevertheless, though, why did you, for your Mishnayas, whether it means, again, your final formulation of the Mishnayas, which is going to be for all time, or whether we just mean you, Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael, the way that you've been learning the core of the Mishnayas so far, either way, Rav Nosson would tell them, listen, I understand what you're saying, it's a Tanai based in. Nevertheless, the very fact that you guys are using the word Yusun is evidently because you prefer Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka's opinion, and therefore, because according to the Chachamim, at least, fine, you want to say that according to the Chachamim, it would work also, fine, but at least you should use a different Lashon that would make it clear in other words, if you say Yusun, basically you're having to say the Tanai Beistin is having to override two things. Number one, Dover Shalai Balaulam, and number two, that according to the Chachamim, you can't change the order of Yerusha, the amounts given to Yerusha. At least if you were to say Yisbun, then you would make it clearer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka's opinion is not factoring into it. It's not a matter of overriding the Yerusha, it's just a matter of Makna Dover Shalai Balaulam. So that would be, so Abaya is saying to Rav Papa, there's the answer to your question. It's true, it could be made to work even with the word Yusun, but Rav Nosson then would be bothered by, then in that case, still, why pick that word as opposed to the other? So Rebbe answers him that no, in fact, it does say Yispun. In other words, Rebbe doesn't want to get into the whole thing, just basically says, you know what, fine, so it does say Yispun, you've heard a wrong version of it, basically. And then later on, Rebbe realizes to himself that, you know what, I didn't really need to do that. He could have very well said to me that even if it says year soon, how is that not only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha? And I would have answered him, fine, it means that the Tanai Beis Din applies to both factors. However, however, then Abaya says that, you know what I said is not really correct. As a matter of fact, Rebbe did not need to say that the word, what is Abaya saying? That Rebbe was thinking to himself, if I tell him that the correct word is Yusun, then he's going to wonder, well, why'd you pick the word Yusun? And therefore Rebbe was forced to say that, in order to get out of the argument, that the word is actually Yispun. But now Abaya is saying that, no, that's not so. Really, Rebbe did not have to say that at all. The fact is, whether you say Yispun or whether you say Yusun, it could equally well be made according to the Chachamim. And therefore, so Rebbe did not have to use, so you can't say it in the words. So here, the Papa is asking, how does it work? And the answer is, and ultimately, the only way it works is Ketznai Bestin, and Abaya is saying, well, if the fact true, Ketznai Bestin, but still, why did he pick the word Yusun? Now Abaya is saying, no, not really so. In fact, whether Yusun, even so, we could have made the work according to the Chachamim, and as far as your question, or Papa, the answer would be that Ketznai Bestin is different. Why? D'tnan. Because we have another Mishnah in Ksubas over there that mentions another T'nai Beis Din that has to do with the Ksubah. Now we're going to learn in the next Perek, Mez Hashem, that even though the daughters don't inherit any of the property when they have brothers, but the brothers have a responsibility to support their sisters until they're old enough or until they get married, whichever one comes first. Girls in those days would often get married at the age of a naira or even sometimes a katana. So once they do, then they're their husband's responsibility. And if not, then the brothers have to support them until they have to support the daughters until they become a begaris. Anyway. So the Mishnah describes over there, loy kosav law, if the husband did not write in the ksuba for his wife, b'non nukvan d'yevin l'chi minai, the girls, the female children that you have from me, yevin yosvan b'vesi, they will be able to continue to live in my house after I die, v'yitzinon minachosi, and be supported from minachsai, and be supported from my nachosim, ad tilokhan l'guvrin, until they get married. So even if that wasn't written, chayev, he's still chayev in that tnai, because again, shu tnai based in, because that's a tnai based in, and it's incumbent on everybody. Now, now Abaya is learning that these two takonas of ksubas benin dichrin and the takona to support the girls were both made by the same based in. Therefore, in effect, what we can consider is as though they were done at the same time. Now, in a previous Gemara, we learned on Kuf Chof Tes Amud Beis that we talked about there where you have, where we have like this. On Daf Kuf Chof Tes, we talked about the case where he's saying a loshen of Yerusha to one person and a loshen of Matana to a different one. And we said, Lamaskana, we said that even when there are two fields involved, two different fields and two different people, nevertheless, the fact that he said Matana to one of them, which of course a Matana can override anything, then that allows us to apply that also to the one he said Yerusha to, and therefore that one would also be on the basis of Matana, not on the basis of Yerusha. So in other words, what we said over there is if he has two children, Reuben and Shimon, and he says, I want Reuben to receive this field as a gift, and I want Shimon to receive that one as a Yerusha, then it works, even though you would say, but one of them he said Yerusha, and how can he override the dinim of Yerusha according to the Chachamim? We said it doesn't matter. Once you have Matana involved in there, then it'll work. However, the Gemara had said that would apply only when it was b'toch k'dei dibur. When it was l'acha k'dei dibur, then we said that no, we would treat them as two separate statements. Well, Abaya is saying over here, since these two takonas were made by the same base din, then therefore, in effect, we can consider them like two things that are toch k'dei dibur. Vahava Lazematona Veloze Yerusha. So the Lozebi Yerusha. So therefore, in effect, Abaya says, let's take these two Tanoi based in together. One of them is a Lashon of Matana. Because in other words, even if it says Yusun on the one with Ksubas bin Indichrin, but the one with the girls is definitely Lashon Matana. He's saying they will continue to live in my house and be supported, etc. That's not a Yerusha. They're not receiving a Yerusha, but they're receiving a Matana, basically, he's giving them. So you have a case where one is being given in a Lashon Matana, namely the girls, and at the same time, the other is being given in a Lashon of Yerusha, namely the boys, Yusun, that they're going to inherit their mother's Ksuba. V'chol Azeb Yerusha, V'lazeb Matana. And when you have one of them is in a lashon of one of them is used, he uses an expression of Yerusha, and the other one Matana, Afilu Rabbanan Moedu, then as we learned previously on Daf Kuf Chav Tes, even the Chachamim will agree that will work and all of it takes effect. So therefore, the Mishnah could very well be using the word Yusun, and still it wouldn't be a problem of how is that not only appointed of Yechim and Broker, because you have a Matana involved in there as well. And therefore that means that it takes effect even according to the Chachamim. So Abaya is saying, in short, in answer to the Papa's question, you're wondering, Einon Amakna Dovah Shalai Balaolam. So first, Abaya had thought to say, yeah, but there's a difference. Once he says Loshen Yusun, then that seems to imply that only according to Rabbi Yechim and Broka, and therefore Rav Nathan's question is justified. But now Abaya is saying, actually, not really. The truth is, Rebbe could have just as well answered Rav Nathan and said, sure, it says Yusun, but still, because it's together with a Matana, together because it's in the same breath, in the same part of the same Takanas Chachamim as the maintenance of the daughters, which is definitely a Matana. So therefore, it would work even according to the Chachamim. Now the Gemara is going to go on to demonstrate how we know that they were both made by the same Beis Din. But before we get to that point, again, all of this, the flow of the Gemara so far, has all been according to the Rashbam. Again, Tosfos gives a long explanation over here that explains the flow of the Gemara differently. Where in particular, it means that a Papa's question and Abaya's attempted answer to it, and Abaya's saying, you know what, I realize that my answer was not a good answer. All of that is meant as a continuation of the discussion between Rav Masharshia and Rava, where Rav Masharshia had tried to prove from that story or from Nosson and Rebbe what the din is by body, and then Rav Papa is questioning that premise, and he and Abaya is going back and forth about whether in fact we can use that as a proof about whether a body does have that ability to do the disposition of his nechassim as a matter of Yerusha. And therefore the result is that because of what Abaya is saying, that you know what, he's saying lav milsa hidamri, what I said was incorrect, then it comes out you really don't have a proof from there that a body could do that. Because you have Matana and Yerusha together, and therefore the Matana takes effect over the Yerusha, basically. And therefore, that doesn't show that in a case where he had said it only as a matter of Yerusha, that it should, and he's a body, that it should work, not necessarily. So therefore, the result would be, according to those Rishonim, according to Tosfos and the Rif and many other Rishonim, it comes out that in fact the Gemara has not answered the question whether a body would be able to do that, and in fact in the end the Rambam paskins, and from there it's duly brought in Shulchan Aruch that it doesn't work and a body can't do it. Only a Shchidmer can do it. There are various other details and nuances within this as well. For example, when we said, when the Gemara had pointed out, when Rav Papa had pointed out that it's a Dovah Shaloi Bala Olam, and the Rashbam is saying that means because the children, because the children don't exist yet, So the Rimigash asks that it's not even a matter of the children don't exist yet, that the wife herself is still perfectly alive and healthy when the ksuba is executed. So again, you could say even according to the mayor on the machan dava shaloi bala olam, but that requires at least that the circumstances for it already exist. We're here; they don't yet because she's still alive. And then for that matter, it would be that the nechosim that they would eventually inherit for that don't necessarily exist yet either, because whatever is going to be earmarked for them to be paid off for the mother's ksuba is not necessarily nechosim that he even has yet. So that was so according to the Rimigash, that would be the point of Rapapa's question. Not so much that the children don't exist yet, but the whole circumstances and the whole nechosim that are going to be paid off don't exist yet, because after all, the wife is still perfectly alive, and obviously the answer is that it must be a tnai based in. Okay, so the Gemara continues. However, now Abaya's premise for the last thing he said is that the two parts, the ksubas benin dichrin, that the boys are going to get earmarked in the Yerusha an amount equal to their mother's ksuba, and the part that the daughters are going to be inherited after that the daughters are going to be supported after the father passes away, Abaya's premise is that both of those are were made by the same beis din, and therefore we can consider it as though it was toshkei de dibur. So now we have to question that. Omalei Rav Nechumi, the Ista Omer Rav Chananya Baman Yumi la Abaya. So Rav Nechumi, or some say Rav Chananya Baman Yumi, asks Abaya. It's a bit of an unusual lashon. Usually when the Gemara says that, it would be va'amri la. Or some say, here in, I don't know why instead, here it's v'ista Omer. It amounts to the same thing. Anyway, so he asks Abayas, Mimai debchad de dine iskun. How do you know that these two takonis of ksubas benin dichrin and the girls being supported, how do you know that those bechlal those takonis were made in one beis din, and therefore you can consider as though it's toshkei de dibur? Maybe they were made by two different bate dinim, so there's no connection between one and the other, and therefore, so we see that even though he's doing a lashon of matana to the girls, or implicitly a lashon of matana, by saying that they're going to be supported, etc., that doesn't bear at all on the Yerusha of the sons, and therefore we do have a case where Yerusha applies to be able to override the word Yerusha can be used to override the regular dinim of Yerusha, and that would be only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereke. And the answer is, lo sakadaydach. You can't think that, answers Abaya, you can't think that those were made by two different bate dinim, de katani resha. Because the Mishnah in Ksubas, before it starts talking about these takonis, says as follows: Zem medrash dorash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lifnei chachamim bekerem biyavne. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave the following drasha in front of the chachamim in the kerem in the kerem biyavne. Kerem literally means a vineyard, so the bis medrash in Yavne, where they went after the churban, ten liyavne v'chachamel, was called the kerem biyavne in various places. And Rashi explains because the chachamim sat there in rows like the rows of vines in a vineyard. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave the following drasha in front of the chachamim. It could mean when he was appointed Rosh Hashiva, as we know, the famous story in Brachas. It could mean sometime during the years of his tenure. But anyway, he gave the following drasha. Darshaning the takonis of the earlier chachamim. We have two takonis, habonim yushu v'habonis yizoinu, that the sons inherit, meaning not just regular inheritance, that's of course minat Torah, but we mean they inherit the ksubas benin dichrin, and that the daughters are supported from the father's estate. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can darshan the same way as you would darshan psukim, the same way you can darshan from these statements of Uliyu Chachamim, that we can learn one from the other. Ma habonim einin yoshin elol acha misis avihem, just like the sons inherit their mother's ksuba only after their father dies, because that's the mechanism. Their mother has died first, therefore the father inherits her property. Now, when including all of the property that she brought in to the ksuba, that she brought into the marriage, her nichsim malog, nichsitzen barizal, and all of that, and now when he dies, then they get earmarked for themselves that they get an amount equal to that amount that she had brought into the ksuba. So just like that takes effect only after the father dies. The same way that the support of the daughters is only after the father dies. Meaning, in other words, as the Gemara explains there in Ksubas, that if the father decides while he's alive, you know what, I don't want to support my daughters, let them go out and get themselves jobs, then we don't force him to do that. However, we do try to publicly shame him. We try to put, the Gemara explains over there, we put social pressure on him to say that, listen, you know, these are little kids. What are you making them go out and earn a living? Are you worse than the ravens who don't provide for their own children, etc.? So you do that whole thing over there, but nevertheless, Dastin can't actually force him to support the daughters because the whole Tanai Dastin takes effect only after he dies. Now, so if you tell me that both of these takanas were made in one beis din, then fine. Hainu diyafin takana mitakana. Well, then in that case, we can derive the parameters of one takana from the other, because again, one beis din made them, and therefore it means when they made, they kept in mind with each one how it would apply to the other one, and therefore we can say that what applies to one applies to the other. But if you were going to say that, it was made in two different bati dinim, heichi yafin and takana mitakana, then how could we derive the details of one takana from the other? So the very fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you could means that they must have been made in one beis din. However, the Gemara answers back, not necessarily. Mimai, who says that so? They may have been made by two different bati dinim, but you could say beidina basra tokun ke beidina kama. You could say what it is there was a first takana. There was a first takana that. That the daughters should be supported. Later on, a later beis din made a takana that of ksubas benin dichrin. And what they did is tokum kebei dinakama. They followed the same pattern as the one from the first one. Or rather the other way around, in other words, that they would say the second beis din may have figured to themselves, we want to make the second takana parallel to the first one, so people don't wonder why do they take effect at different times? Why does one take effect only after he dies and the other one while he's alive? So it doesn't mean that they were actually made by the same beis din, which would mean it's not Tokere Dibur. So just when they made one takana and made it that it takes effect only after he dies, named the Ksubas Benin Dichrin, so a later beis din, when they made the takana that the father has to provide support for his daughters, then they also, to keep things parallel, they made it that it should be after he dies as well. But nevertheless, that doesn't show, in other words, that they were betoch kedei dibur. They may well not have been. They may have been two different. They may have been two different takonas. And all it is that they both happened to take effect at the same time. That doesn't necessarily show. So here, Abaya had been saying, because you have it would be considered an effect betoch kedei dibur, and you have one is matana and one is yerusha, and that's the mechanism that makes it work according to the chachamim. The question is, what makes you say that it is in fact betoch kedei dibur? It could have been two different takonas, and just one was made parallel to the other. So no proof that that's the mechanism that makes it work according to the Chachamim. Now again, according to the Rashbam, all of that doesn't matter. We still answered the question before that yes, it does work according to given the halacha is like a birchin mebreika. We did according to the Rashbam and the Baal Amor, we learned on Omer Aleph, we have the Besharshia's proof that this concept of birchin mebreika applies even to a bari, and therefore that's that. All we were dealing with in the last, from then, beginning from Rapapa's question until here, is just to figure out why exactly Rebbe was forced to say in the first place Yisbun rather than Yusun in order to deflect Reb Nosson's question, why couldn't he have said it would work even with the word Yusun? So, but according to the Rashbam, that doesn't affect the actual answer that the Gemara gave before, which is that according to Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, even a body could do it. On the other hand, again, according to Tosfos and the Rif and others, and other Rishonim, the Gemara has schlugged that up and said that no, there's not really a proof from that it would work by a bari. According to Rabbi Yechim and Breuka, it would in fact, maybe we have a solid proof, of course, that it would work by a Shchivmara, because he said so in the Mishnah, but that it should apply to a bari as well, not necessarily, and therefore the result would be we can't say that, and we can't say that a bari would have the ability to override the regular amounts of Yerusha. New topic. Like Gemara says, now here what it is we just finished talking about, we just finished talking about a Shchiv Mara's disposition of his Nechosim, and the Gemara had asked, but Bori Heyach, so how would this din apply equally well to a Bori? So now the Gemara, now the Rashbam explains, now the Gemara is going to do the same thing with a couple of other topics. We're going to say something that applies to a Shchiv Mara And the Gemara is going to ask, in the continuation of the discussion, Bibori Heya, at the top of the next Amud, after we deal with a certain din, on figuring out the details of a certain din that Shmuel says, we're going to ask whether it applies to a Bori as well, which is why the Gemara is bringing it in over here. So the Gemara says, Amud of Yehuda Amud Shmuel, Hakosev Kol Nechosev Leishtoi. If a Shchivra writes out a document that says that all of his Nechosim are going to his wife, and we're talking Beloshen Matana, because again, Beloshen Yerusha, even Rabbi Yechon Ben Broker wouldn't agree that he could do that, because she's certainly not in line to inherit him, according to either possible understanding of Rabbi Yechon Ben Broker that the Gemara had discussed on Koflamar Amar Aleph. There's no way that he could make his wife the sole heir with a Loshen of Yerusha. So we're talking about he wrote a Loshen of Matana. Nevertheless, lo yaso ela apotrupa. It doesn't mean he's actually giving her all the nechosim irrevocably. It means that he's making her the trustee over the estate. We have it, the Rashban explains, it's oimed adas, we can evaluate for ourselves and realize he wouldn't want to ignore his children completely and just give everything to his wife, and what's going to happen, for example, if she remarries, then his children are going to be completely left out or whatever. So it just means he wants to make her an apotropa. He wants that his children should give her covering. Our father trusted her to that extent that he left the nechosim under her management, so now they'll have more respect for her. In fact, the Rashbam points out, the Gemara further on, in the next parak, the Gemara explains that there were three halachas that the Chachamim made them almost like hirchsa b'loy taima, almost like a halacha without a reason. So there is a certain reason that we're saying over here, that he wants them to have respect for her, but nevertheless, that we should override the explicit statement in the shtar that he's giving it to her, and we should override that based on our own das, which is to say the das of the Chachamim, and say that he really meant to make her an apotrupa. It's almost like hilchsa b'loy taima. It's almost like a halacha without a reasoning behind it, as if the Chachamim just said, like, divrei nevius, this is how it is, and that's that. Anyway. So he makes her only on apotropa. Well, so the Gemara continues in that regard. Now, Now it's obvious that if he did the same kind of thing with an older son, so instead of his wife, he wrote out that the nechosim are all going to his older son. Then we can say not gadol as an older, but gadol as in an adult. So he does the same thing with one of his adult sons, lo yaso el apotropos, then obviously you can say the same kind of thing also, that he wants that his brothers should give him covered. So again, we can umdan das, we can evaluate and say that he meant it just for that purpose, just so that the brothers should give him covered, not that he actually means to disinherit all his other children. Now the question is, that Rashbam brings up the point that it is possible to give all the nechosim to one son over another. So why are we all of a sudden assuming that it means that he's only making him and as a so why all of a sudden are we assuming that he's only making him an apotropos? Here we previously said, in other words, we a couple of blocks ago, we said that if he says a Loshen of Matana, the Chachamim agree he has the ability to override the Dinim of Yerusha, and therefore that it means that he's making it, that now it goes to him. So why all of a sudden over here are we saying that it means that he's only making him an apotropos, and he just gets a portion equal to all the other ones? According to the Rashbam, the difference is just because, in other words, did he use a Loshen of Matana or a Loshen of Yerusha? If he says that I want Reuben among all my sons to Yarshin me, then it means that he just Yarshins. That it means he's not an apotropos, it means he actually gets all the property. As opposed to if we were to say Matana, then it would mean, as Gemara is saying over here, that he made him an apotropos. On the other hand, there are a few other opinions of Rishonim in it. The Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif hold that the difference would be not so much whether he uses a Loshen of Yerusha or Matana, but rather did he write it or did he say it verbally? If he said it verbally, then that would mean that's a Matnas Shrimara, and it means he actually gave it to him outright. But if he wrote it in a Shvar, then it would mean, well, what would be the point of writing a shtar when he's a shchiv merad and it's not necessary for a shtar to be written anyway? Divrei shchiv merad, the Gemara says that the words of a shchiv merad are considered as though they're already written and signed. So why would he be writing a shtar? Because that way it'll become more publicized that in fact that he gave this honor to his son. And therefore that, the other brothers will have, that the other brothers will have more respect for him. So that's another way. That's another way of understanding the difference is whether he wrote it or whether he just said it verbally or whether he wrote it. Another point is that the Rimigash gives another explanation that the earlier Gemara was talking about what he actually said clearly. Now here we're talking about he just said, I'm giving the Nechasim to my son. So we can start evaluating for ourselves whether it means that he meant to make him an apotropos so he can actually inherit all the property. But let's say if it happened in the earlier Gemara, he actually says in so many words, I want this given to Yeruvin and not as an apotropos, but rather as the actual sole heir, and then that would work. As opposed to over here, it would be where he didn't use that expression. So there are several different explanations of Rishonim how to reconcile the sugya with the earlier one. So obviously with an older son, you have that consideration that he wants them to honor him. So the question would be, what about if it was a younger child that he's doing this for? What if it's a younger child that he says that he wants to leave the Nechasim to? So do we say that since he's younger, then it can't mean he meant for them to give him covered? So therefore, it does really mean a matana. Or maybe even you could say he wants the other brothers to have covered even for a younger son. So the answer is itmar. So they said, Rav Chanan Loi bar Idi, Amar Shmuel, Afilu b'noi katan amuto barisa. Yes, it would apply even if it was a baby who was in a crib, so a really young child. Nevertheless, he still wants that the other brothers should have covered for him, and therefore it means that he's only making him an apotropos and not actually giving him the sole ownership of the property. Again, subject to the various opinions of Rishonim, how we reconcile this with the Gemara a couple of blocks ago about that he does have the ability to give exclusively to one son. So now let's talk about more dinim within this. Let's talk about the various kinds of relatives that you could have one versus the other. So pshita b'noi v'acher, it's clear that if you have a person has a bunch of sons and he writes to one particular son that he should be the one, or v'acher, or he writes or he writes to somebody else. So if he writes his nechosim and he says, I want it to go all to my son, then we can say it means that he wants his covered and he wants to be an apotropos. Or if he's writing completely to acher, to somebody else, and a different non-relative or further away relative, then obviously he doesn't mean for covered to the guy, then it means to give him outright. So then acher matano of no apotropos. Then it's clear that if he's saying an acher, then it means he actually wants to give him the nechosim. And if it was his own son, then we're saying that he just wants him to be an apotropos. So the question is, also we can be sure, ishtoi v'acher, if you have that he writes a document that gives all his nechosim to his wife, or he gives them to acher, to a different person, then again, the same thing, acher matana, or the ishtoi apotropos. Then it means, or the ishtoi apotropos. Then it also means the same thing. It means that his wife, that a different person, it would mean that he's giving him as a matana, because then there's no reason for him to be concerned about that person's covered, that he should be giving it to him just as an apotropos. But on the other hand, a wife, as we said, he wants his children to honor his wife even after he passes away. So therefore, we would say the wife is an apotropos. The acher would actually be the sole heir. This is in parenthesis. Marshall takes it out because according to the Rashbam's explanation over here, the Rashbam has a long discussion of this piece of Gemara with a couple of different explanations in it. So after we'll learn the Gemara in the more straightforward explanation, and afterwards we'll talk about the other one, Bez Hashem. Anyway, the question is, So now another fact, ishtei arusa, if the wife is only an arusa, he hasn't yet actually done nisuin with her, only erusin, or if he's divorced her, then it's clear matana, then it means to give it to her as a matana, because again, it's obviously not for their kavod, because in such cases you wouldn't be concerned about her kavod. But the question is, what about if you have one daughter among the sons? So he has a bunch of sons, and he also has a daughter, and he writes out the nechasim to the daughter. Or he doesn't have any children, so he writes a document giving the nechasim to his wife, but he has brothers who would be the normal ones to yarshin him. Or the isha etzel b'nei abal, or another possibility, he writes the nechasim to his wife, but he also has children from a previous wife. Mahu, what would be the din? In those cases, does it mean that he's making her an apotropos? Or does it mean that because he wants them to honor her, or is he actually not concerned so much for the covenant, and therefore it means he's giving her the property outright? So Ravina says in the name of Rava, in all of them, we would say that in all of these cases that we just said, the one to whom it was written is not in fact Koina, they would only be an apotropos. Levar ishte arusa, the ishte grusha, with the exception of where the wife is an arusa or a grusha, where there we have more reason to say, since she's an arusa, he hasn't really gotten to know her that well yet. Since she's a grusha, then he doesn't care that much for her anymore. So then you can say, if he's actually writing out, though, if he's actually saying or writing out, whatever, according to the different explanations before, that he's giving it to her, then fine, it means that she has it outright. But other than that, we would say, if it was Bas Eitzel Abonim, a daughter among the sons, or his wife against his brothers, or whatever, then we would say it means that he's actually giving it to her outright. Rabbi Avira says in the name of Rabbi differently. B'kulu koni, in most of them he is koina. Levarma he isha etzel achin, the isha etzel bnei abal, with the exception of the wife relative to the brothers, or the wife relative to his children from an earlier marriage. So in other words, because then we would say in those cases he's just concerned for her covered, and he's only making her an apotropos, as opposed to the other cases would mean that they're koina. So practically speaking, it comes out therefore that of the five cases that we asked about, really the only argument would be about a daughter relative to the sons. According to Ravina, she wouldn't be koineth, because we would say most of them is not koina, with the exception of ishte arusa and ishte grusha. So therefore, daughter, if he gives the nechosim to the daughter instead of his sons, it doesn't mean instead of, it means he wants to make her an apotropa, and it means that he wants that his sons should show her covering, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Avira, it would work and she would actually be koineth, because we would say that, because that's not one of his exceptions, and therefore he would say, and in that case, the daughter is outright koineth. So again, the Rashbam has a long explanation over here and discussion of a number of ins and outs of the Gemara. So for one thing, so here the Rashbam says, we've been explaining that it means that he's saying the son or an acher, or his wife or an acher, etc. Then the Rashbam brings an explanation that some wanted to explain, that it means that he's doing both, that he's saying, I want my son and an acher to inherit the property jointly. And the same thing with all the other ones. But the Rashbam says, what do you mean? He's writing out all the nechasim. It means that half of them go to each one of them. So then there's no apotropos involved over there. So it would be that each one would in fact get half the nechasim. And he goes on to discuss that point. He says also, as far as the Benoi versus Ishtoi, then we don't have that in the Gemara, because obviously, if he writes to his wife instead of his son, well, then we say he makes her only an apotropa, and if he writes to his son, where instead it could have been his wife, then we have to see whether he has brothers or not, whether we want the brothers to honor him, etc. Then in Rashbam you also have a Haggah, which is another explanation of the Rashbam's, or maybe an explanation of somebody else that was also put into the Rashbam. On top of that, with all of this, you have not only we have the regular Rashbam printed on the side of the Gemara, this is one of those places in this Masech that we also have Pirush Rashbam HaIkri, the primary Pirush of Rashbam, printed in the margin. So you have a bunch of different explanations. So here you have this Haggah. mentions that the Bnoi V'Acher, who would be the Acher, would be, for example, that he has a son, and then he has one son, and then he has a grandson from a different son who's since died. So both of them are royal Yosher, both of them are in line to Yarshin him. So then we would say that he wants, for example, that if he writes to the surviving son that he gets the nechasim, it doesn't mean that he wants it exclusively to go to him. It just means he wants him to make him an apotrupa so that his nephew will have honor for him. And then similarly with some of the other cases. In this connection also, the Marshal brings up that the Rashbam makes a point over here that ultimately there might be a reason why a person wants more concern for the covered of his widow more than of his children, because we learn when the pasuk says kavod es avicha ve'esimecha, the es also includes eshes avicha, includes also your father's wife, even if she's only your stepmother, all the more so over here where she is her mother. On the other hand, then, so the Marshal asks, okay, so what? The fact that an older son gets honor is also from a ribui in that pasuk. You have, because it's v'esimecha, and we learn from that an older brother as well. So the Marshal discusses that point, and in that case, why would we say that he's chayev, that he's concerned more about the kavod of his wife more than the kavod of his older son? So one point is because after all, they're not strictly speaking chayev in the kavod of the father's wife after the father passes away. If it's their mother, sure, they're chayev in kibbud aim just because by virtue of her being their mother. But other than that, the ikker chiyuv of kavod es avicha v'esimecha that includes a step parent only applies as long as the natural parent is alive. On the other hand, when it comes to brothers, then you could say, in other words, like this, you know, there should be kavod given to an older brother, and that doesn't expire when the father passes away. And here you could have, for example, that instead he wants that kind of kavod given to the younger brother. And then the Marashah goes and discusses it further. Another way of looking at it is, yeah, a person is more concerned about the covet of his son more than the covet of his wife. So it's not so much a matter of what we darshan from what pasuk, but of what we darshan from what word or what letter in the pasuk. But we're saying when it's their actual mother, then sure he makes her an apotropos. But we're saying that on the other hand, if it was not their mother, if it was their stepmother, then we would say we're learning only from a pasuk that they're chayev in her kavod. But when it comes to a child, now given that it's his own child and he wants his kavod, and you have the extra pasuk for it as opposed to benoy katan, then you could say it's different. So anyway, the bottom line is, we're saying, according to the various explanations, that sometimes we're going to say, even though he's saying that I'm giving as a matana, then nevertheless, it doesn't really mean that he's giving it to them as a matana. It means that he's only making them an apotropos, subject to all of these details that we said about whom's covered is he concerned for, and therefore he wants to make them an apotropos, so that they'll look up to them, versus which one are we giving an outright matana. So now, the next piece, which will continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, is Rava's going to ask, fine, now that we've established that concept, that sometimes you say matana, and you really only mean an apotropos, does that apply only to a shivmana, or does it apply to a bori as well? And we're going to take up that point on the next daf, Beis Hashem.